بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
We begin by praising Allah Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, the Majestic, and we ask Him to send His choicest of blessings and salutations upon the final messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and every single person who embraces the prophetic path, who embraces the prophetic teachings with ikhlas, with sincerity, until the end of time. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters, sisters, why? Because perhaps they're tuning in to the live service, and at this juncture we thank the SLBC for their service. May Allah accept it. May Allah bless it. Ameen. So we address, my dear brothers and sisters, I start off by reminding myself, and then all of you all gathered here for Salatul Jum'ah in this house of Allah, and those of you tuning into the service, to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is to bring in the consciousness of Allah, of your Maker, into every single second of your lives, into every single facet of your lives. And you must do this, O my congregation, O believers, O slaves of Allah, if you wish to attain victory and success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. Inshallah ta'ala, I wish to delve into a topic today that resonates deeply within our hearts. And this topic is about the kindness towards our parents, the immense power of their prayers, and the responsibility upon our shoulders as children towards our parents. The title is Honoring Our Parents, United as a Family Unit. United as a Family Unit. I'd like to start off by citing a powerful ayah in the Noble Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the 17th chapter,
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما واخفض لهما جناح الذل من الرحمة وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا.
Powerful ayah. Almighty Azza wa Jal, if I were to give you a synopsis, a summary of the ayah, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ. And your Lord Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed that you do not worship anyone other than Him. La ilaha illallah. There is no God worthy of worship other than Allah. Wa bil walidayni ihsana. And that you treat your parents with ihsan. Now if you were to closely analyze this ayah, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you see the two commandments, and you will see this across the Quran, even before the commandments with regards to zakah, with regards to charity, with regards to all the other specific acts of worship our deen, our Maker, has commanded us to do, you see these two commandments being paired, being linked. Worship Allah, treat your parents with ihsan. Worship Allah, treat your parents with ihsan. So much to the extent that if we were to study this ayah, you see that with the worship of Allah, treating one's parents, treating your mother and father with ihsan has been linked, paired. The letter waw has come in between. And worship Allah and treat your parents with ihsan. So this signifies the importance of this command. Now what is ihsan? And I intentionally did not choose to translate it because I wanted to unpack it further. What is ihsan? Ihsan, my dear brothers and sisters, is to treat your mother, to treat your father with excellence. Ihsan, with excellence. And you see, in English, the language fails to capture the depth of the Arabic language. And for that matter, no language on the face of this earth can capture the richness of the Arabic language, the depth of the Arabic language. So what is ihsan? Ihsan, if I were to quickly explain it, it is to go the extra mile. It is to treat with excellence upon excellence. It is to do something without expecting anything in return. Ah, that is a powerful statement. You see, most of the time the world revolves, you scratch my back, I scratch your back, you scratch my back. I do something, I'm expecting something in return. At the very least, a thank you. Yes or no? At the very least, a thank you. I do something, I at least expect that you be grateful, that you reciprocate. But ihsan is to go, not just do the bare minimum, by the way, it is to go the extra mile expecting nothing in return. And this is what Allah commands us to do. Go the extra mile with your father. Go the extra mile with your mother. And you cannot expect anything in return. Why? Because your reward is with Allah. Your reward is with Allah. So even if your father does not say thank you, even if your mother does not say thank you, even if they do not acknowledge it, even if they do not render gratitude, some of us, as children, we take offense. We take offense, oh, my father did not say thank you. He did not acknowledge it. My mother did not acknowledge it. Regardless, your duty lies, your duty is upon your shoulders to treat them with excellence upon excellence. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Hadith is in the book of Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, the pleasure of the Lord, the pleasure of Allah, is in the pleasure of the parents. And the displeasure of the Lord of Allah is in the displeasure of one's parents. Or kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. The narration goes along the lines of these words. If you please your father, if you please your mother, you have pleased Allah. If you displease your mother, if you displease your father, you have displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now coming back to the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, imma yablughanna indaka al-kibar ahaduhuma aw kilahuma. Allah says, if one of them has reached old age, or if both of them have reached old age. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, not all of us are blessed with the luxury of being with one's parents as they grow old. Let that statement sit in. Let that settle. Not every one of us have been blessed with the luxury. It's a powerful statement. It's a luxury to be with your parents, to be with your father as he grows old, to be with your mother as she grows old. Now, why do I say this? There are many of us in the crowd, we have lost our parents young, when we were young. There are many orphans in the crowd who have lost their parents even before coming into this world. So, oh brother, oh sister, if right now your mother is alive, you are fortunate beyond words. I have no words to explain. If your father is alive, I have no words to explain how lucky, how fortunate you are. If your mother and father are both alive, subhanallah, you are extremely fortunate. Two massive doors to Jannah, two massive entryways to Jannah. And if one is with you, then one massive doorway into Jannah. So this is why I started off by saying that not every one of us have the luxury of having one or both parents alive at the moment with us, subhanallah. Now at this juncture, I want you all to reflect on something. Think about your childhood. Today, you may be 6 feet tall. You may be successful. You may be the CEO of a company. You may be, you know, having so many assets to your name and whatnot and this and that, and people respect you and community status and all these things. But go back to your childhood. Go back to the tender years when you were utterly dependent upon your mother and father for every need. And did they not provide not only sustenance, did they not provide, did they not teach you, did they not help you, did they not help you walk, did they not clean up after you, did they not nurture you, did they not provide for you, did they not show you love, care and mercy? And now, as they go back to tender years, and this is subhanallah, how ajeeb and how amazing, how strange the creation of Allah is. You start off young like a child, then you reach your prime, and then eventually you go back to those tender years where you start, you know, your senses, your physical abilities, your emotional needs, all of this, you start going back to how you were created. So at a juncture like this, when we have our parents with us who are like that, they're feeble, they're old, frail, they're in need. And at this juncture, we tend to turn away from them. At this juncture, we get frustrated. At this juncture, we don't have time for them. Subhanallah, how ungrateful are we? Did our parents treat us like that when we were children? When we did not know how to speak and when we were mumbling? When we did not know how to walk and when we fell? When we did not know how to clean up after ourselves? Did they say, oh, what a bad stench, and throw us away? No. Sleepless nights, our parents were up. Our fathers toiled hard to provide, to educate us, to pay the bills, to put food on the table. And how are we now showing our gratitude by turning our backs unto them, subhanallah? You see, if you reflect on the journey of motherhood, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the journey of motherhood is marked not just by physical changes. You see, sometimes we take our mothers for granted, and this is why I want to spend a minute or two to call your attention to this. We take our mothers for granted. You see, the journey of motherhood is not just marked by physical changes, it is also marked by profound psychological shifts. Subhanallah. The journey of pregnancy, you see, you and I, we are all sitting here. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Maker, put our mothers through this journey of pregnancy, and through that we were brought into this world. So the journey of pregnancy is nothing short of miraculous. Subhanallah. Nothing short of miraculous. A mother's body, you see, undergoes significant changes. A mother's body becomes a sanctuary to the child or for the child. You see, our mother's bodies became sanctuaries for us. For months on end, for months on end, our mothers carried us safely in their wombs. You see, as the body expands, just imagine a living being growing inside. You know, sometimes you eat a heavy meal and you find it difficult to walk. You find it difficult to focus. You find it difficult, you just want to, you know, behave like a sloth and fall down on the ground. So think about a living being growing month after month in the womb of the mother. And she's carrying this child with love, with care, whilst her body is transforming, it is changing. And you see, scientifically when you look at it, there are hormones surging. It's a complete shift. And mentally she is now preparing herself for motherhood. She's preparing herself to give birth, to bring a child into this world. With difficulty upon difficulty, she's not able to sleep at times. Towards the latter stages of pregnancy, she can't sleep on one side. Why? Think, oh sons in the crowd, oh daughters as you tune in, think. Our mothers went through so much for us. Stage after stage, difficulty after difficulty. Did they curse us? Did they despise us? Did they hate us? No, it was done with love. It was done with care. And then when it comes to the labor pains, when it comes to the delivery, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The world of medicine and science acknowledges that labor is known as one of the most severe pains experienced by human beings. It involves intense muscular contractions of the uterus of the woman, and this can last for several hours or even days. So this entire physical ordeal, my dear brothers and sisters, is not merely discomfort. It's not just discomfort. It's often excruciating pain. And our mothers went through this to bring us into this world. My dear brothers and sisters, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. So should we not ponder on this? You see, the next time you decide to speak harshly to your mother, the next time you decide to be rude to your mother, ponder and reflect on this. Ponder and reflect on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ponder and reflect on the responsibility upon your shoulders as a child. Subhanallah, subhanallah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through his ahadith, we can glean, we can deduce that Jannah lies at the feet of our mothers. Subhanallah. How? By being in their service. You see, there was an incident, I want to share it with you all. There was an incident where an individual, he carried his mother on his back and performed the pilgrimage. Okay? He carried his mother on his back. He didn't take her to Makkah, pay for the electric cart and drive her around in the electric cart like many of us do today. That would cost you about 100-200 Saudi riyals and you get it done and over with. Or he did not push her on a wheelchair. No. Before the electric cars you have wheelchair. He literally carried her on his back. And you might have witnessed certain individuals doing it, but I don't know how many of us have done it. So just think about it. He carried his mother on his back and he performed the pilgrimage. Now after performing the pilgrimage, he asked the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, as to whether he had repaid his mother in some form or way. What does he mean by this? You see, for all that his mother has done for him, he carried her around the Kaaba. He carried her Safa, Marwa. He completed the pilgrimage with her on his back. So he asked the Sahaba, have I in some form or way, have I repaid my mother to a certain extent? You know what the response was? Individuals like Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu and others have reported to have said, not even for a single groan during childbirth. You have not repaid your mother to the extent of a single groan, a single lament during childbirth. You know, when she's in pain during childbirth, she groans. Not even for one groan have you repaid your mother. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. As you can see, This is the mentality that we must bring in, my dear brothers and sisters, to understand the responsibility towards our parents. And similarly, when you talk about the quiet sacrifices of our fathers, oh my dear congregation, are our unsung heroes. They often bear the weight of our worlds on their shoulders. They shield us from hardships while asking for very little in return. I want you to picture the countless days our fathers have spent from dawn till dusk, laboring in tireless silence, driven by one single purpose. And what is that purpose? To provide for us, to secure a good future for us, to give us opportunities that they did not have. So perhaps a father did not have the opportunity to get a good education. Now he strives and toils day in and day out to make sure his child, his son, his daughter gets a good education. Subhanallah. Think of your father's hands. And I'm sure at this juncture, many an individual in the crowd, many a person tuning in, you see, will reflect on this. If your father has passed away, if your mother has passed away, your heart will yearn. How I wish I could go to my father's grave now. How I wish I could go to my mother's grave now. How I wish I could put a smile on their faces.
How I wish I could massage my father's feet, my mother's feet, touch their hands, hug them, kiss them on their heads. But I can't do it. Why? Because it is too late. They have passed away. They have passed away. Many a child, many a son, many a daughter has this lament today. So, O children, before it is too late, if your parents are alive, strive to fulfill your responsibilities unto your parents, unto your fathers and unto your mothers. So think of a father's hands, roughened by the years of toil, yet so gentle when wiping away our tears, when teaching us how to hold a pen, when teaching us how to ride a bicycle perhaps, when teaching us how to tie our shoes. We did not know how to tie our shoes. Today we think high and mighty of ourselves, but we did not know how to tie our own shoelaces. When he taught us how to drive, these hands, our father's hands, my brothers and sisters, are the very hands that have built not just our homes, but our lives as well. Today, if you are who you are, I'm sure a good chunk of credit must go to your father. A good chunk of credit must go to your mother. Subhanallah. So my dear brothers and sisters, as we come to the conclusion of my sermon, I have a few action items that I'd like to share. Action item number one, as your parents grow old, as your fathers and mothers grow old, they fall ill. And when they fall ill, we as children must support them compassionately. It is our sacred duty to care for them with compassion, with patience. They may wet the bed, they may soil the bed, but did we not do it when we were young? So why are we disgusted now? As children, we must be willing to look after them. This care should not be seen as a burden. A lot of us do it, but we see it as a burden. We are deep down wishing that this burden be removed from our shoulders. We should not see it as a burden. We should see it as a privilege. We should see it as an opportunity to show gratitude for what they have done for us. So therefore, let us make sure that they receive the medical attention that they need. Let us be present to offer comfort and support. Let us be there to listen to their needs and to provide for them as they once provided for us. Action item number two. I would like to encourage collaboration. Collaboration how? In doing this service unto our parents, if we have siblings, we must work together as a family unit. It is important that we work together as siblings, not in competition. Not to compete, oh I did this, you did that, or you did this only, I'm going to do this. Not in competition, but in cooperation, in unity, in cooperation. You see, our parents, they cared for us equally. When we were young, let's say you have two siblings, our parents cared for us equally. So now as they age, they should not have to bear the weight of our disagreements, of us fighting, or the pain of seeing their children being divided. Why? Because they are old now. They're frail. They can't do anything about it. They're sick. And just imagine how they would feel to see their children fighting in front of them, their children being divided in front of them. Just imagine, when we were young, we did not like to see our parents fight, our mother and father fight. So similarly, our parents would not like to see us divided and us fighting. The next action item, avoid fault finding and blame. You see, amongst the siblings, amongst the children, if one child steps forward to take a greater share of the responsibility. Now this may be due to proximity or capability. What do I mean by this? Let's say you are in Australia. Your ailing father is here. Your brother or your sister is living in Sri Lanka. And this sister, this sibling comes forward to look after the father. Now why is he or she doing it? Maybe because of proximity, it is more convenient for them. Now us living from, we are far, we're living abroad, we're living overseas, we should now not start finding faults with the sibling looking after the father, looking after the mother. We should not start blaming our siblings who are looking after our parents, because we are not here. They're doing their very best. But we should not sit from afar and say, oh, why has this not been done? Why has that not been done? Why don't you do it this way? Why don't you do it that way? This is finding fault. This is blaming. Rather, we should support them from afar. If there are financial needs because we are not able to do it because of proximity, let us help financially. Again, capability. If they are capable, then let us help them to do, because they are capable and we are not capable. So we should be supportive of what they are trying to do, subhanallah. So this is the next action item. We should not criticize their efforts from afar. That is the key thing. Don't play the blame game. Do not criticize their efforts from afar. Instead, support them in every and any way you can. If there are any concerns or disagreements, then let's have clear lines of communication with love and respect, seeking to understand the situation rather than to judge. May Allah ease our situation. I mean, the last action item is to promote unity. Let us use this time where, if your father is ill, if your mother is ill, to strengthen your family bonds, rather than allowing the caregiving that you're showing to your father or mother to drive a wedge. Shaitan is very cunning. We think of him as this, you know, antique individual. He's very cunning. He knows how to drive a wedge between family members, how to divide siblings. So under the guise of justifying it in your head, he will justify it in your head. No, you should do this. This is what is good for your mother, good for your father. You should blame them. You should fight with them. They're not looking after. And he will try to drive a wedge. He does this psychological manipulation to break the family, to divide the family. So my dear brothers and sisters, we have to be united. We have to be united. Let us strive for unity. So let us not let the caregiving become an issue where a family is broken into fragments and pieces. Let us cooperate. Let us put forward a united front to look after our parents, to look after our mothers, to look after our fathers. You have to understand that division within the family not only hurts each member of the family, but it also deeply, deeply affects our own parents' emotional and psychological well-being. It affects our mother's emotional and psychological well-being. It affects our father's emotional and psychological well-being. So in conclusion, my dear brothers and sisters, I call upon each and every one of you to reflect on how you might be able to contribute to a united family front. Whether you are near or far, your effort counts, my dear brother, my dear sister. So let every call of yours, telephone call, let every visit of yours, let every supportive gesture of yours be a brick in the structure, in the fortress of family unity that you must build around your mothers and fathers in their time of need. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help each and every one of us to do so. So my dear brothers and sisters, let us remember that the kindness towards our parents is not merely a duty, it is a privilege, it is a blessing, and it is a pathway to Allah's pleasure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the wisdom and strength to fulfill this obligation with ikhlas, with sincerity and devotion. And we must sincerely make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, and to do this before it is too late. Malakul Maut is hovering around. You don't know. I can't assure you, I can't guarantee that I will complete this sermon and get down from the pulpit. None of us can say with 100% conviction and belief that we will walk out of this masjid, that we will walk out of these doors. We could die. Our mothers could die. Our fathers could die. So if things have gone sour, if things are bitter, don't wait for the next Eid. Don't wait for the next festival. Don't wait thinking, oh, I'll go in the weekend, I'll go on Sunday, I'll go on Monday and patch things up. Call your mother right away and patch things up. Call your father right away and patch things up before it is too late. Ask for their forgiveness, seek their forgiveness, and work towards rendering excellence upon excellence unto your mothers, unto your fathers. I conclude by making dua. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. We lift up to you the fathers and mothers who have given their all Yet at this juncture they are facing hardship and neglect, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, shower upon them Your mercy as they did with their love when they raised us and looked after us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we sincerely ask You, fi yawm al-jum'ah, on this Friday, to bless all of our parents with health and happiness. Ya Allah, our mothers, our fathers, there are those who are ill. Ya Allah, provide them with healing, Ya Allah. Ease their pain, Ya Allah. For those who feel alone, surround them with compassion and company, Ya Allah. For those who are nearing the end of their earthly journey, make it one of peace and dignity, Ya Allah. Let them leave this world with peace and dignity, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we pray for the families that are divided. Mend the hearts and unite those families, Ya Allah. They have drifted apart, Ya Allah. Inspire those siblings, inspire those relatives to support each other, Ya Allah. Especially in taking care of their elderly parents, Ya Allah. Let them remember to honor their parents. Let them remember that too. Honor their parents is to honor You, and to neglect them, to neglect their mothers and fathers, is to neglect Your favor, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, O healer of all hearts and bodies, we ask You to grant all of our parents good health, Ya Allah. Long lives, Ya Allah. Heal them from ailments, Ya Allah. Ease their pains, Ya Allah. And grant them strength and wellness, Ya Allah. Protect them from the hardships of old age, Ya Allah. And keep their minds and bodies active, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those of us who have lost our parents, we pray for them, Ya Allah. Make their graves into beautiful gardens of Jannah, Ya Allah. Bless them with high ranks in Jannah, Ya Allah. Our mothers who have passed away, our fathers who have passed away, admit them into Jannatul Firdaus, Ya Allah. Beautify their graves, Ya Allah. Fill their graves with light, Ya Allah. Fill their graves with light, Ya Allah. Help us to do a lot of sadaqah jariyah on behalf of them, Ya Allah. They looked after us, Ya Allah, but they are no longer on the face of this earth, Ya Allah. We sincerely pray for them, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, just as how You united us here in this masjid for Salatul Jum'ah, unite us in the beautiful and lofty gardens of Jannah in the companionship of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'wayan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. மேலும் இது போன்ற இன்னும் பல பயான்களை www.acmyc.com எனும் இஸ்லாமிய இணையதளத்தினூடாக நீங்களும் டவுன்லோட் செய்து கொள்ள முடியும். அஸ்ஸலாமு அலைக்கும் வரஹ்மத்துல்லாஹி வபரகாத்துஹு.